Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin there in chapter 1. Many of you are familiar with a young lady by the name of Hannah. She had a husband named Elkanah. In verse 2 it says, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave unto Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. Notice these words, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, that's the other wife, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thine heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden, and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but wilt give unto thine handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, which thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came into their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, speak to us. Lord, I think of how you spoke to Hannah and how you used Hannah to bring forth a man-child that would lead Israel. Oh God, I pray that you would help every one of us to realize that our lives can be greatly used of thee. I pray that you would help us, as Hannah did, to make something of nothing. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak this evening on making something of nothing. Making something of absolutely nothing. I love reading stories in the Bible, for each story that you read in the Bible has a message that can be driven home to your own heart. I enjoyed the William Carey story. I love to read biographies, but there's no stories that touch my heart more than the stories that we find right here in God's Word, where God works with people just like you. Aren't you glad that God knows your number? He knows your address. He knows your need. He knows what you don't have, but what you would like to have. And God will take someone that has nothing and give them something, that they might be able to use what God's given them for His glory, not only for time, but for eternity. You know, really, when you think about all of the things that we cumber ourselves with, and all of the things that we buy and the things that we hoard and the things that we have, really all of those things really in eternity are not going to make a bit of difference. It's only what's done for Christ that's going to last. I want to draw your attention to this bride, Hannah. In chapter 1, I want to draw your attention to verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now what that means is that God did not allow her to have any children at all. You mean God did not allow her to have children? Well, that's what verse 5 says. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. She was a barren bride. She was a barren bride. She could not have children. Don't you think that a woman of Israel would be burdened in her barrenness? Don't you think? If a woman who wanted to have a child, that they might give that child to the Lord, would be brokenhearted because she was barren. Oh, did you know that there are many Christians today that are spiritually barren? They're not doing a thing for God. In fact, did you know that there are some Christians, not only are they barren, but they're a pain in the neck to the work of God? Isn't it amazing? You can have a family come to your church and join the church, and in 30 days, there's a revival breaks out among the people. You can have another family come and join, and in 30 days, the church is in utter chaos. It's because of the barrenness of the heart. Amen. Oh, listen, we cannot afford to be a barren church.
Right. Amen.
We cannot afford to be a barren people.
Right.
There's too much at stake. There's a lost and dying world that needs to be won to Christ. And if we're going to be barren, it's going to be our fault, not God's fault. You know, barrenness in Hannah's life was given to her by God to cause her to become a begging bride. That's point number two. A begging bride. You know, sometimes God will allow circumstances to come into our life to get our attention. Isn't that true? Even the psalmist said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Isn't that amazing? Trials make the promises sweet. Trials bring new life to our prayers. Trials lay us at His feet, and trials keep us there. Sure. Oh, listen. Not only do we have a barren bride, but we have a begging bride. I want you to notice verse 11. She vowed a vow unto the Lord. She went to the temple of the Lord in Shiloh, and Eli's the priest, and he's not understanding what's going on. Here's a woman that is so brokenhearted over her barrenness that she begins to beg God, and she's crying out to God, but she's moving her mouth, but she's not speaking audibly. Eli comes walking through, and he thinks that she's drunk. That she's come into the house of God intoxicated, and so he rebukes her for it. I want you to notice that she seeks to tell Eli that I'm not drunken. Notice what she says there in verse 15. She answers, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." What's it going to take for you to pour out your soul unto God about your barrenness? You say, well, I'm giving more than others are. You may still be barren. A lot of times we think that if we compare ourselves with others and we're doing better than somebody else is doing, then we're okay, when really God has a greater degree that He wants us to be involved in His service, and He wants us to be involved in His work, and God is seeking to take us to another level spiritually, if I can use that term, to bring us to the place where we could be doing more than we ever dreamed possible to be done. And every one of us here ought to think about our barrenness. We ought to think about how little we're doing. You know, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, whenever they came to the tent tabernacle, they always came with an offering. They never came without an offering. No one ever entered into the brazen altar without an offering, to be an atonement for their sin. And we understand that in the dispensation that we're living in, that we have received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and He is not just our atonement, but He's our Savior and He's our Lord. He didn't just cover our sin. Man, He washed it away.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Man, what a blessing it is to know that we're saved and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and we're looking for the Lord's return. God has been so good to us. But yet, what are we doing to show our love to the Lord? What are we doing to demonstrate that He has not only begun a good work in us, but is performing that work, and He's using us to accomplish great things for Him? It's not the church you're serving, it's the Lord you're serving. Amen. I'll tell you what, my ministry took off when I realized that finally. I always thought the ministry was about me. What a boring ministry. When you're all wrapped up in yourself, it's a very small package. When I realized that it's not what Dan Knickerbocker wants to do, or not how big Dan Knickerbocker's church is going to be, and not how many I can preach to, but I have the privilege of representing Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, that changed it all. I'm not in it to serve people. I'm not in it to please people. I'm in it to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the one I'm serving. How about you? I don't have to do this. I get the privilege of doing this. I love it when people sing and you can tell on their faces that they're not enduring it, but they're enjoying it. That God so gets us excited about what's happening in our lives that we realize that God is doing something. But here's a begging bride. She's asking to receive something of the Lord. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be asking to receive something of the Lord that we can give back to the Lord. Amen. You know, that's what missions giving is all about. Right. That little piece of paper that you're receiving, and on it it has a place where you can write the amount that you want to give to missions. And of course, that's beyond what you give to tithes and offerings in the church, of course. This is a beyond your tithes and offerings. This is a missions gift that you give to support missions worldwide. And you know, when you look at that little card and you say, "Now, Lord, I gave so much last year, and I really want to find out, Lord, I'm begging you to reveal to me what it is you want me to give so that my life can become fruitful." Amen. That's what you ought to be praying. And I believe that all of us ought to increase our giving, increase the level of our usefulness to God. You know, there was a preacher named Christmas Evans from Scotland, and he made a statement. It was a 13-point covenant he made with God. And on the 12th covenant, it stated this. He said, "Lord, don't let my days be any longer than my usefulness to Thee." That means if I ever come to the place where I am barren or useless or unproductive, please do me a favor and yourself a favor and take me out. He said, "I don't want to cumber the house with lumber that's in the way." God help us to not only realize that often we're barren, but we ought to be a begging bride. We ought to be begging God to reveal to us what He wants out of our lives. Do you think that if you begin to beg God, that He will reveal Himself to you? We see that in this passage. Look at verse 15. "And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul unto the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden, O daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto.'" Now look at verse 17. "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.'" Now something happened right here in this passage that changed everything. When Eli told her to go in peace, and that the God of Israel would grant her the petition which she had asked of him, something happened. Something miraculous happened. She knew she was a barren bride. She had become a begging bride. But you know what happened right then and there when Eli said that? She became, number three, a believing bride. You know, she hadn't been eating. She was so upset. She was so distraught over her barrenness that she began to beg God by fasting and praying. But once she heard from Eli stating that God would give to her the petition that she had requested, she became a believing bride. Now you say, what's the difference between a begging bride and a believing bride? Well, a believing bride doesn't have to worry about it anymore. She's believing that God's going to come through for her, and so it's just a matter of waiting. I don't know when God's going to do it, but He's going to do it. And I don't have to worry about it. God gave me a peace in my heart that this is going to happen, and I'm going to believe God. You know, that's the greatest place to live. Believing God. I don't think you can please God unless you're living by faith. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For him that cometh unto God must believe that he is, but also that he's a rewarder of them that do what? Beg. Diligently seek him. We are to be a begging people. God will give you a peace. He'll give you His will. He'll give you an assurance. He'll give you an understanding that everything's going to be fine. And you know, I love the next verse. Verse 18, and she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. We don't have a crying, begging bride anymore. We have a believing bride. Amen. You know, believing people are happy people. Right. Man, I'm trusting the Lord.
That's right.
He's going to come through.
Amen.
And we're going to have the greatest missions program we've ever had.
Amen.
You know why? Because we believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we've asked, and He's told us what He wants us to give, and we're going to give it. And He's going to provide it.
Amen.
And I am so excited that when He comes through, He's going to get all the glory. Because it's not something I can do. It's something that I've begged Him to do.
Amen.
Folks, that's victorious Christian living.
Right.
She didn't have to not eat anymore. She didn't have to mourn anymore. She didn't have to have a sorrowful spirit anymore. Oh, I think a lot of Christians need to talk to their heart. See, why are you so sorrowful when you should be so happy? Have you ever found yourself in that case? I have.
Yeah.
Here I am moping. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. You know, something didn't happen the way I wanted it to, and so I'm pouting, having a pity party. Whenever you have a pity party, you want to try to get somebody to come and join you.
Yeah.
Then you make everybody else as miserable as you are.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Do you like living like that? I hate living like that.
Amen.
There's nothing worse than knowing you're not right with God.
Amen.
There's nothing worse than knowing that you're not pleasing God. There's nothing worse than knowing that you're not believing what God has promised He would do. Oh, I believe we should claim the promises of God. How many promises do you think are in here? Well, the big debate is it's somewhere between 20 and 30,000. How many of those have you claimed? You said, well, I wasn't aware there were any, or very many. Well, no wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're pouting. No wonder you're discouraged. No wonder you're not giving. You've not claimed the promises of God. I remember my father said to me one day, Daniel, do you have a life verse? And I said, no. He said, well, get a life verse. Start reading your Bible and find a verse that comes to you that you really like, and you claim that verse. And so I started reading. I came across Jeremiah 33, 3.
Amen.
Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Amen.
That's exactly where Hannah was at. She called unto the Lord. The Lord answered her. And she believed what Eli had said to her, and she trusted that what he said was going to come to pass. And sure enough, God blessed her. In her believing God. Are you believing God? What are you trusting him for? What are you expecting him to do? Have you got any expectations? Are you waiting on the Lord for anything? I came across that verse. I may talk about it in Sunday school tomorrow. Maybe I will just leave it alone now and talk about it tomorrow in Sunday school. Don't miss it. You're either waiting on God or you're making God wait. And I'll tell you what, I don't believe that God created you so he could stand around and say, boy, I sure would like to bless this person, but they don't need me. They've got their life all figured out. In fact, they've excluded me out of a lot of their life. When really we ought to be saying, Lord, please take over my life. And I sure would like you to live your life through me. Amen. Number four, we go from a barren bride to a begging bride to a believing bride, and then we have a bearing bride. She's with child. Looks like me, right? I mean, she's with child. Can you imagine how excited she was? Going to have a baby. Feel him kick. I remember I went to a preacher's meeting one time and a guy came up to me. He was heavier than I was. He came up to me and he put his hand on my stomach and he said, Lord, bless this set of twins. And so I leaned over to him and I said, Lord, bless this set of triplets. You know, there's something special about expecting something from God. You know, she was with child. The fruit of a believing soul produces great things. You know, every mother, when she's carrying a child, she dreams about what that child is going to become. If a person loves a lady, loves the Lord, and she wants to serve the Lord with all of her heart, what is she going to pray for that child? Oh, may this child that I'm carrying serve you all the days of her life. Amen. I told my children, Joshua and Rebecca, when they were little teeny kids, I'd sit them on my lap and I said, Joshy, are you going to serve the Lord all the days of your life? Yes, Daddy, he would say. The same thing with Rebecca. I said, tell me that when you're 16. Yeah. And thank God our children have served the Lord. Amen. Thus far, all the days of their life. Isn't that what Hannah wanted? Isn't that what she asked the Lord for? And now God has made her a bearing bride. Oh, there's something precious about bearing fruit. Amen. Bearing fruit. A happy Christian is a fruit-bearing Christian. Right. Amen? A bearing Christian is a Christian that comes with their gifts to the Lord. They say, Lord, take my life and use it for your glory and for your honor. Oh, that's wonderful. So wonderful. That brings us from a bearing bride to a bringing bride. She brings that little boy that she has weaned to the Lord. Go with me to verse 24. She weaned the child and she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. A bringing bride. Think about it. Can you see little Eli? Can you see little Samuel as he shows up for work? He's just been weaned. And he's just a little kid. And Eli starts giving him jobs to do. And one of the jobs that he had was to was to go up to the oil lamps, make sure they always had oil in them. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. And you've got to trim the wick. That's the flesh. You got to get rid of the flesh. Amen? And if you don't keep the oil in the lamp, the flesh will burn. And it'll make smoke in the house. And it will cloud up the globe. And there won't be a sweet and brilliant spirit in that ministry. It'll be kind of a dead, has-been type of ministry. And Eli put Samuel in charge of some important things. Little things at first, no doubt. But boy, when the Lord told Samuel about the condition of Eli, you talk about growing up a young man real quick. That's another story in and of itself. But what I want to say to you is that who is responsible for all of the wonderful things that happened under the leadership of Samuel? Who would be the one that would be responsible for it? His mama. It all began with mama.
Sure.
Yeah. It didn't begin with papa. Papa said, man, I'm better to you than 10 sons.
Right.
I mean, I'm a good husband. You ought to be just so glad to have me. I'm better than 10 sons. No, it was Hannah's prayer. It was Hannah's begging. It was Hannah's barrenness. It was Hannah's believing. It was Hannah's bearing. It was Hannah's bringing that brought about the offering, the blessing of the offering. And let me tell you something. Really, the truth is, the blessing of your offering never comes till you give it. I pastored one church for 23 years. We'd have people make a commitment for a whole year. Then they'd leave the church before the year was up. They might get transferred. They might leave. And very rarely did any of them say, now, Brother Knickerbocker, we're leaving. We want to leave you with our commitment for the whole year of the missions giving that we promised God. Many people make a commitment and never carry it through. I've known churches that have had to drop missionaries because the church members quit bringing the offerings. Do you realize how important it is to bring your offering? I think it's as important as begging. I think it's as important as being barren. If you're barren and you begin to beg God, then God begins to work and move in your life, and you begin to see the need, and you begin to think about how God's going to use you, and then you start believing, I can do this. I can be involved in world missions. I can make a difference in reaching this world for Christ. Listen, all of the believers that are throughout this world should have already won this world. Don't you agree? We've got more modern technology, more money than we've ever had. And yet there's still many unreached people. And I'll tell you why. So many are thinking somebody else doing it. And they're not going through the process of understanding their barrenness. They've never come to that place where they said, oh God, I'm going to start begging you to reveal your will to me. Then when God tells them his will, then they start believing it. And then they begin to bear the fruits of God's will in their life. And then they bring their offerings to the Lord. Number 6. When she brought her son to the house of God, she became a blessed bride. She became a blessed bride. In chapter 2, you can take the time to read it later, but in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and Hannah prayed. What a prayer. This woman knew how to get a hold of God.
Amen.
And I love her prayer. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged like over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. What a powerful prayer. Read the prayer of Hannah and realize that here's a woman that went from barrenness to be no doubt one of the greatest mothers in all of Old Testament history. Now, let's take it and bring it up to 2008. How can we apply this message to our lives? Number one, you must realize that you're more barren than you realize. And that you've been ripping God off. You've been neglecting some areas of service and action and giving and bringing and laboring. And that's why you're not as blessed as you could be. You say, oh, Brother Knickerbocker, I'm blessed. Well, I want to tell you something. I thought I was until I learned a new level of blessing. Amen. I think that Christians should be constantly growing in their life, spiritually. They should be constantly discovering new truths from God's Word. You know what I mean? If it ever gets to the place where you say, well, I've read it all and there's really nothing in here for me, you're barren. But oh, that if we would realize our barrenness, then God could begin to do a work in our lives to where we could start believing. And we could see things happen that we just can hardly believe could happen. God's been good. But as Jabez said, he said to the Lord, it was a prayer that he made to the Lord. Jabez, have you ever heard of Jabez? He said, I want you to bless me indeed. You know what he was saying? He was saying, now Lord, I really want your blessings, but I want you to give me a double portion. I want you to really bless me. I mean, there are a lot of people being blessed of the Lord, but I want to be really blessed. Amen. Amen. Why don't you start praying like that? Lord, make me a blessing. Use me to make a difference in this church in missions giving. I haven't even talked to your pastor about your missions budget. I don't know what you did last year. I don't know how much money came in for missions. I don't know how much was promised last year. I don't know how much came in. But I believe that from this missions conference, this church could do more than it did last year. How many of you would agree? What you're saying by agreeing is that you're saying we could be more fruitful than we are right now. How many of you could do more than you did last year? Would you just slip your hand up? You could do more than you did last year. Come on now, you don't have to be afraid. We don't have cameras scanning the audience. We're not going to call you up and find out how much more you're going to do. No, that's something between you and God. But if you could do more than you're doing, the missions giving after this conference is going to spike. It's going to go up. You know why? Because when you start believing God for some things, He will not let you down. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, how many of you tonight would admit, while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I feel sometimes that I'm a bit of a barren Christian. Would you be honest and raise your hand? Yes, I see those hands. God bless you. Not only do I feel that I'm barren, but I know I ought to be begging the Lord for some things. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I'm going to start begging God for some things. And I'm going to beg God until He makes a believer out of me. How many of you would beg God until you become a believer in what He has promised He'll do for you? Would you raise your hand? Many of you, that's wonderful. Will you bring those things to the Lord that He tells you to do? Will you give of your best to the Master? Would you do more than you've ever done so that you can be blessed of God? I believe a blessed person is a happy person. And I believe Christians need to be happy. We need to show it on our faces and with our pocketbooks. We need to show our love to God by our giving. The Phoebe Fellowship left a little basket on our bed with a lot of nice things in it. Somebody was thinking about us. And somebody put all those things together to let us know that they appreciate us being there. You gave something. I appreciate it. Think about all of the ways that you could be a blessing. Ask the Lord to reveal to you how you could be a blessing. As the pianist softly plays, let's stand with our heads bowed. If you need to come tonight, would you do it? If any one of those points of that message hits you in your heart, you said, "Man, I didn't realize."